Okay, I know you've waited for this hour. We're going to take phone calls with James Van Prague here when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with James Van Prague. We'll take your phone calls as well. James, as you do what you do, which is very, very well, and people come up to you seeking advice and help about the ones who had departed or special healing when you do that as well. Have you come across any situations where somebody's a skeptic, somebody's a non-believer, and you turn them around?
Oh, sure, all the time. I again, recently I was with this Omega class. There was a couple there, a man and his wife, and I said, "How did you find yourself to be here at this 5-day class?" And the man said, "Well, I was very skeptical, but I've heard about you for years, and my wife wanted to see you, so we went to see you at Richfield, Connecticut, at a show there. And the first thing you did was you did a reading. You said there's a young man here, 26 years old, named Joseph, and his father is sitting in the audience, and he's wearing his shoes." And sure enough, a man stood up, and that was exactly right. And he said, "That blew my mind." And he said, "You had a full night of all these details. There's no way you would have known these things." And he goes, "That turned me around from being a skeptic to a believer. And now, taking your class," he goes, "I really believe." And then at the end of the class, the fifth day, he was up there doing readings. So, it does. And it's not my job to change people's minds. It's not really what I'm here to do. I present this information to people, and if it resonates within their being, then great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. And that's true of anybody. If you hear somebody or see somebody or read their books, or it's if it resonates within your soul, as food for your soul. And if it doesn't, then it's not your time for it. It's foreign to you. That's fine too.
Good point. Let's go to some of the calls
Can I just
here.
ask, George, just ask, just tell you something from my
Yeah.
Facebook page. One of your listeners, I just want to thank her. I'm not going to mention her name, but she wrote this down. I'd just like to say this from one of your callers on my Facebook page. She said, "James, in my darkest hour, you brought me light, and then you didn't leave me there. You walked me out of the dark tunnel and showed me how to access my internal light, so I would never be without a light in the dark passages of my life. I am forever grateful." And she's a Coast to Coast listener.
Well written, by the
Well, well
way.
written, isn't it?
Yep.
A lot of
Sure
great
is.
entries from your people.
That's one of your blogs right there, huh?
Yes, I'm exactly right. So, yeah, the Facebook page. Yep.
Okay, to the phones we go. Let's go to Steve in Kokomo, Indiana, east of the Rockies to get us started. Steven, thanks for calling.
Hi, George. It's an honor to talk to you
Sure thing.
and to
Thank
be
you.
on your show. I don't think it was an accident that I got through tonight. My mom passed away like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my.
Totally felt that next to you. Totally.
Thank you. And, I was wondering, is it easier to communicate with people that have newly passed than people that passed for a length of time? I mean,
Well, Stephen, it depends on the death condition. So if someone passes with a heart attack very, very fast and quick, they're out of the body very fast, they're usually able to come right back. There's no problem that usually. If it's someone who has a long illness for a long, long time, a disease or something that really depletes the life force, it seems that it's a little bit harder to bring them through because for the spirit, it's just a memory of the death. It's a memory, and that memory seems very real to them, and they don't want to go through those conditions. But I find that they come back within sometimes days and weeks and months right away, depending on how they died. I felt your mom right next to you on your right side, and the right side for me is always the mother. So pay attention to her. Listen with your mind, if you could, and just start quieting yourself down. Just listen. And if you start sending questions to her, just listen with your heart. That's the only way I can say it to you. And pay attention to your dreams, because the number one way the spirits communicate is through the dream state. So she'll come through your dreams. I just know that she wants you to know she's fine. I just know that she's okay. And I know if there's a sister over there, but she definitely talks about a sister. So there's a sister she's been aware of. So she's okay, but just, yeah, okay?
All right, Steve, let's hope that helps you.
There you go.
Nancy in Richland, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hey, Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, James. Thank you so much. I also feel like it was no accident I got through today. My question is, I'm, a working woman and in the traditional industry and financial services. I've felt always called to lead a more spiritual life, and yet I am where I am, and I feel like I probably could pursue my gifts psychically and mediumship-wise, and I think there's other people probably in my shoes. But I feel a little bit uncertain how to do that in my current situation, and I'm just looking for some guidance on that in
Okay,
general.
great,
And
Nancy.
then
That's
also,
wonderful.
how I could use, maybe some spiritual guidance from people who've passed to help me with
Sure.
that. people.
Sure. I'll be more than happy to help you with that. The first way is to really go, no one can do it for you, you have to do it yourself. And the best way really is to start tuning into your own abilities, your own power, if you will, your own empowerment, your own light, is really to go through to your own heart. And that's done through meditation. Meditation is the one way, the quickest way, really, to go within and to start listening with that inner voice and start to discern between the spirit voices, your own voices, learn about the energies that are around you, that who you are as a spiritual being. So meditation is the number one way. And on my website, I do have online, you know, meditation downloads you can easily do. It's my store page, and people love them. I've designed them, took me 2 years to design them. And it's just a situation just like this, where people want to get more in tune and who believe they have mediumistic abilities or intuitive, they want to really bring out their intuition more. That's the best way to do meditation. And also through learning who your guides are. That's another way of doing it, is through meditation and talking to spirit, talking to your relatives who passed over, and learning how to listen. That's all done through the meditation. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Good luck, indeed. James, in growing up with heaven, let's talk a little bit more about the connection between the parent and child. If we do get some calls from parents who have lost their children, I mean, what can you say to them?
Well, number one, you can say that you haven't lost them, that they're around you very, very much so. And many times they're closer to you now than they were in the physical, because the physical, they had to maybe go places or do things. In the spirit, it seems that they can be with you most of the time, and you can be in several places at once when you're in the spirit form. So they are with them. They're part of their mind. They're part of their work. They're part of their lives. And I always say to parents, live a life that your child would be proud of. And live a life that, you know, they want to fulfill something for the child. That's a great way of going on, fulfilling something that the child would have loved to have done. And realize you're going to see them again. They're going to see them again. And don't waste your time here on this earth, because it's a very valuable time of learning and understanding and evolvement if you just take the time to be with yourself. And, you know, you haven't lost them. They're very, very much alive. And also, just quickly, people have asked also online about suicide. And a lot of parents lose children to suicide. And what happens to that spirit that commits suicide? Well, it seems that there are different types of suicides. If there's a suicide based upon someone who has an imbalance in their brain, that's very, very different than someone whose stock went down and they decide to just jump out the window. So it's always the motivation behind the act, I find. But in the suicide, it seems that there are always guides, their loved ones, are on the other side to reach out and grab them and let them know it's okay. The lesson in that is learning to forgive themselves. And the best way for the spirit to forgive themselves is if they have our forgiveness down here on the earth. So if we can say prayers about forgiveness and that to the spirit who committed suicide, that's the best way we can help them.
Have you ever had a spirit, not a demon, but a spirit, angry?
Sure. It's funny you say that. Here we go again. Synchronicity.
Yeah.
As I was saying that, the example of suicide, the one that I was thinking about, actually, which is very funny, you mentioned it, was a young man who was 19 years old, and he was a suicide, and he had Oxycontin. He took those oxycodone pills.
Yeah.
And he overdosed with that. And he showed me he was in the basement of his house, and he showed me he was on the side of his bed, on the floor, and he was really angry. He was pissed off. He was so angry. He was angry that he wasn't dead, and he was still angry about his father, and he was angry that his father never acknowledged his existence. It told him he loved
him. Just built up.
Built up and built up, and it's the way to get back to his father. And then when he found that he was still alive, he couldn't get back to him. The aunt was in the audience, and this is the reading for the aunt. And he was angry. He didn't want to talk about it. He was cursing up a storm. And I have to be very, very aware of him. I'm communicating with him, sending him thoughts. I'm also working with the lady in the audience, and I'm also working with my guides at the same time. So it's a multi-sensory experience that's going on. And I kept on saying to the boy, it's okay, you know, you don't have to be this way anymore. You don't have to be, your father didn't realize, he didn't say that he loved you. Maybe he wasn't shown love in his life, so he couldn't demonstrate it to you. And he started understanding that a little bit. He was open to it. He was open to it. And then the aunt kept on talking about things that she did for this child, that how much she loved him. And that loving, thoughts of love, memories of love that she remembered to tell him about, it opened him up to start thinking about love and happiness, and it changed him. And after about 20 minutes, he was in a very different space. and he was ready to move on. He was stuck. He was earthbound, no doubt about it. And he was ready to forgive his father, and he thanked the saints for the opportunity. He stopped cursing, and he apologized. It's as if a whole pilot light went on, you know? It was like, boom. And it was a very incredible experience. But that does happen. Occasionally you'll get the mindset of someone who's dark, who's lost, if you will, limited in their thinking. You do get them, and it's a great opportunity to help them.
We didn't talk too much about angels tonight, other than...
Here you go again, George. Yeah. You're pretty funny. I'm sitting here in front of me. I'm writing, I'm doing cards, oracle cards, angel oracle cards, based on my first book, Talking to Heaven. And I was asked to do it with Doreen Virtue, who is the number one angel therapist in the world.
She's phenomenal.
And so we're doing a deck of cards together. And I just finished working on some of those, and I'm staring right here at an angel, a picture of an angel, and you asked me about angels. So there you go.
You know,
angels,
well, let me ask you, the angelic realm, a little similar, you know, with the spirit realm as well. But what do you think their real role is?
So, again, Doreen would be the expert in this, not me.
Yeah,
but I would say from my experience, what I've learned are the different realms which exist. And there are realms of compassion. There are realms of learning. There are all these different types of realms. I think that the angel realm, the angelic realm, are those beings of light who have kind of, in a way, transmuted all the denser vibrations, and now they're living in a very high level, high vibration. And I think they help to infuse us with our gifts, with our abilities, with joy, with amusement, with happiness, with love. So I do think that's part of their job. And just like a guide, if you will. So an angel can be a guide. Why not?
There's just so much we don't know about this universe.
There's so many levels of life which we don't know about, aware of.
First time caller, Marcia in Galveston, Texas. You're on with James Van Prague. Hi, Marsh.
Good morning, George and James. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate the spaces that you both stand in.
Thank you. Amazing
people. My question, James, is you were talking earlier about pets, and I am, I've lost a few cats over the last couple of years, and one was an accident. I didn't know my cat Max was under my car.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I want to know if he forgives me, if he's okay, because I accidentally...
You know, it's so funny, Marcia, that you mentioned this, because I went back to my class at Omega, but there was a lady who stood up and she said, on my column of fears, I'm afraid my dog does not forgive me. When I left it in the car, and it died of heat exhaustion. And immediately the dog was right around her, and it was all about forgiveness. It was all about love. You know, us and our human mindset, we have this conditioning that we're used to, like, it has to be, can I be forgiven? Is there love? Is there not? There's always love and forgiveness with the animal kingdom, always. So this animal, which is, you know, beyond more than we know, I think it's very evolved. Animals are very evolved. There is no need to forgive. It loves you for who you are, no matter what. So, but I just get a sense, don't judge yourself also. It was an accident. You didn't mean it to happen. So the motivation behind the act, you know, you love that animal. So just forgive yourself. Your kitty cat's fine.
That's good to hear. I have one question.
And you're
question.
Such a good person. You know that, right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
very much.
I just gotta remind you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes.
I also have a question about my uncle who has crossed. And I was wondering how he's doing.
What's his name?
His name is Harold.
Harold. I think Harold is very, very witty. I think his mind is very, very quick. And at the end of his life, I think his mind wasn't his own. I think he wasn't clear at the end of his life with his mind. But I want you to know he's very clear now with his mind. He's very precise as he speaks. He's very determined, and he's kind of like piercing with his thoughts. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So that's how I get him. So he's fine and very quick, very witty.
Yes, he was. He was.
Very good sense of humor. Okay, sweetheart?
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Marcia.
Okay, very good. Shane is in Homer Glen, Illinois, east of the Rockies. Hey, Shane, good morning.
Hello, James. Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi, Shane.
Yeah, I actually lost my pops a month ago exactly to the day. Lost him on Cinco de Mayo. It was a super full moon and all that. Tonight's a full moon, and here I am talking to James Van Prague. But anyway, so 5 days after that.
By the way, Shane.
Five days after that, I had to lay my beloved cat down.
Uh-huh.
And actually, when I laid her down, that was actually on the day that me and my wife actually lost our first daughter many years ago. So,
wow,
I don't know if you got anything for me, but there you go, my friends.
Yeah, look at all the coincidences and the divine timing on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in God's time, not our time. So, well, at least your dad's there helping out. Who has a cigarette smoking or used to smoke cigarettes?
My father, yeah.
Yeah, I get that very, very strongly. Can I just tell you that he likes smoking cigarettes now? I mean, he might have given up at the end of his life, but I got to tell you, when I tune into him, he has a cigarette in his mouth, and he's looking at you, and that's how you know it's him.
Wow.
Can I say that to you? You know that. And I know there's a tattoo on your arm of some kind, too. You understand that? Yeah,
sort of. I had actually a cool story for George. The only coincidence is with my dad dying. He actually came to me a couple of days after he died. There was this one deal that he, for the last year when he was battling with cancer, he would tell this story about when you talk in these new phones and you say the name and it recognizes and it calls it, right?
Yeah.
Well, he has a real heavy accent, a Greek accent, and so the phone wasn't recognizing what he was saying. So he was getting all mad, and he just kept going, Judy, 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 Judy. And then there was an actual show on the same weekend when my dad died with Goober dying on the Coast show.
Saying that, yep.
And that was the exact clip they played, and I almost fell over the next day because he said it just like that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, out of all the clips that they chose, so.
No accident.
My dad coming through to me on Coast.
That's a great story. Thanks.
It's a great one.
It's the world is full of synchronicity. It really is. There's this connection. I call it the wireless internet connection, James. Everything's connected.
Everything is connected. It's exactly right. And the human is the one to separate it, you know. I think that the mind separates, the heart brings back together.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit more about the healing ability. Do you think people can heal themselves?
Yes. Yes. I think the mind, of course, is a result of our thoughts. And I think that if we bring ourselves to that level of receptivity, of love to ourselves, and balance and harmony, we can indeed create changes in the body. You know, our body follows our mind. Whatever we think, we'll create. So you can create a healing vibration within the body, within the conditions of the body and the mind and the spirit. You know, if you can bring a condition of health and happiness and balance and harmony, You have health. You have that. So, yes, we all can.
You know, I was talking to some cancer experts a month ago from the City of Hope here in L.A., and, you know, we all agreed that we're all walking around with cancer cells in our system. Some people have the ability to fight it off. Others don't. And that's what they're trying to find. They're trying to find that. But I have a feeling that healing just has a way of generating some kind of influence into a cell. And it defeats that disease.
Completely. Now, I'll throw out, George, a meditation I do to people, which anyone can do this that is listening. They can do this. They can close their eyes and imagine a green ball of light coming from their heart. And that green ball of light is complete healing, harmony, balance, and peace. And anything that goes into that green light will be healed immediately and bring back the balance. And I've done that, and people will place other people in there, and you can place yourself in there. You can place situations in your life that need to be healed. And it works. When you give over that awareness, that knowledge, the power, thought is very powerful.
Stay with us. We're coming back with final phone calls with James Van Praagh in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, a special week of consciousness stories and incredible investigations. Our next Coast to Coast show, Robert Lanza joins us as we talk about consciousness as the key to all creation. Lynn McTaggart joins us on Wednesday. She's going to be conducting an experiment about one U.S. city. You participate in that. We're talking dreams on Thursday and then open lines on Friday right here on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come right back, we shall take final phone calls with James Van Praagh. Okay, welcome back. Final segment with James Van Praagh. James, I kind of miss Larry King, don't you?
I do. I was, again, thinking about him today. I was working out, and my trainer said, how is Larry King doing? I said, I haven't seen Larry in a while, but, I miss Larry King. I thought Larry was great.
He's going to start working on an internet television show which is pretty dramatic. If I get some more information, I'll let you know.
Oh, that's great.
He should have you back on again.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, Larry King was great. Larry King, I always have one place in my heart for Larry King, because that was really the first show that I was on where my book reached so many people, and it went from 6,000 copies to 600,000
wow.
in 3 weeks. Three weeks.
In his day, he was one of the best interviewers ever.
I totally agree. And because he was genuinely interested in the subject matter.
Yep.
And he once said to me during commercial break, he said, you know, I saw you on another TV show and the host is not very respectful of you. He goes, it's one thing you have to do as a host. You must be respectful of the person. Whether you believe in what they do or they don't believe and your opinions are different than theirs, you have to be respectful.
Yeah.
And it's very true.
Absolutely. He told me once during the commercial break, he said, so you're the kid who took my spot on radio at night. And I said, no, sir, not me. Let's go to final calls here. Let's go to Chandler, Arizona. Donna, thanks for holding. Donna, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
I'd like to know who my guardians are, who my family or friends are around me.
How should you do that, Donna? How do you find that out?
I don't know. I was going to ask you.
You go to James Van Prague. That's how you find
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the best way is really through meditation and doing it on your own. That would be the best way. So learn how to meditate. You can download the meditation programs or just put yourself in a sacred space and start asking who they are. They might appear to you in a vision or a dream or with thought. So that's probably the best way to find out.
Okay.
And you smoke cigarettes too, don't you?
Yes.
I know.
How do you know this stuff?
I just pick it up. I pick up the energy from her that her lungs are full, and her left lung is fuller than the right lung, and she's been having coughing problems lately.
Correct. I actually swallowed something.
Okay, but I see you having problems.
100%. 100% correct.
Yeah, and like asthma and stuff like that, you've got to be very, very careful because the lungs are very sensitive with you.
Yeah. Will I ever find my soulmate?
You know, I first think you got to find yourself. Yes.
Okay.
That's
I think
fair.
You first have a relationship with yourself and first honor yourself. And when you start doing that, you start honoring yourself and loving yourself and bring that energy to yourself and your vibration, you will attract to you that which loves you.
Do people really need to even find their soulmate if they're still enjoying life?
You know, people think that there's only one being that's a soulmate. I think there are many soulmates.
Many, many, many.
I don't think there's just one. There's many, many soulmates. And I think the first step really is that. We have to be honor yourself and love yourself, and you will attract those love that love in your life, whatever that's going to do, whatever that manifests, whether it's through people, their situation, experiences. You're right, George. It's to really love yourself and honor and have fun with yourself.
Yeah.
Amusement is a big part of it. Amusement is a big part. Don't take this all so seriously. It's an illusion anyway, this earth world. It's an illusion. So be amused. Be amused by it.
And it goes by, James, way too fast.
Way too quickly. That's exactly right.
It's like enjoy
a snap and it's over.
Yep. Let's go to Richmond Heights. It's in Ohio. There's one in Missouri, too, but this is in Ohio. It's Lloyd's turn. Lloyd, thanks. Go ahead.
James, on my dad's final day, my brother and I spent quite a bit of time with him at the nursing home, and then as evening fell, the attendant there told me that we could go home, he would be okay. But
so let me just go ahead and jump in here if you could. Did he have a fall down?
Did he have a fall?
Before he was ill, did he fall down? Or was there
I believe he did, yeah.
Because I feel there was a fall or something. I do believe that before he died, I feel like he fell. We were concerned about him falling.
Mine fell, James.
And your dad fell,
my dad,
George.
Yep, he fell.
Okay, is that how he died, George?
Yes.
Yep. Oh, he died with a fall. Okay, yep. That's interesting. I'm picking up a fall.
I mean, not immediately, but it was the fall that killed
him. That caused his death, correct?
Yep.
Right, okay, that's interesting.
Anyway, James.
Let me just tell you that. Have you had a dream of your dad?
I have not, but... It's always bothered me.
I want you to have a dream
when I called
your dad.
Later that evening.
He was dead. He
found
passed.
Out he had passed away, and it always bothered me that my brother and I, weren't there at that moment.
So let me help you, Lloyd, because I've done this for 30 years, or a little over, and I've never had a spirit say, you should have been there when I died. Most people want to pass on their own. We come into this world on our own, and we usually want to leave on our own. There's a great movie you should see called The Cemetery Club. You should get that and watch that, Lloyd. You'll appreciate it. I just go to your dad. You should not do that to yourself. Don't treat yourself that way. You know, he wants you to love yourself, and he's fine. He didn't want you to be there. Many times they don't want us to be there. They want to go on their own.
That's a good point. I'm not sure I would want anybody there.
No, it's true. It's many, many spirits will just want to be by themselves. Or you'll leave the room for 5 minutes, and they're gone. You'll be in the hospital room, and all of a sudden you're at 5 minutes, and they go. My mother, the same thing at my mother. So, Lloyd, that's a natural way. So don't beat yourself up.
Okay. Thanks, James.
Thanks.
You're well, very welcome.
Did you ever hear that song that Sinatra sang and Elvis sang, Softly As I Leave You?
I never have.
All right. The story I'm told had to do with a guy who was dying in his hospital bed. And his wife fell asleep, and he didn't want her to see him die, so he writes this song, Softly As I Leave You. And this is a great song. Anyways, he leaves that song on the bed and dies. She wakes up, he's dead, and there's this poem, this song. Incredible story.
Oh, I'll look that up. Thank you, George. That's a good one.
Softly As I Leave You.
Yeah, they never want people to be there when they pass, it seems. That's the way it is. It's just very interesting.
Catherine is in Toronto, Canada, where I will be in a few weeks. Hi, Catherine.
Yes, greetings, and we're looking forward to having you up with me, George.
Me too. I can't wait. Plus, I was going to tell people this, I might as well. My singing debut will be in Toronto.
Oh, wow.
Wonderful.
How about that? I think they've got two band members from the old Guess Who.
Yep, that's right.
They're going to be playing there.
Randy Bachman and...
For me.
What's his other guy?
How about that, James?
George, it's pretty cool. What do you sing? What kind of...
I sing a couple old ballad-type songs, and I'm going to have some fun doing it. You know,
I think it's
almost
great
sold out.
That.
It's not quite James Van Prague size, but it's good.
You got to express yourself, that creative energy. You have to express it.
Yep, you do. Anyway, go ahead, Catherine.
Yes, I'm curious to know, James. I've been working on people all my life. I've just recently, in the last few years, taken time off because I feel that there's someone attacking me. So I have I was doing acupuncture and Chinese medicine on people for over 20 years, probably about 35 years actually. I use tuning forks. So George, I'd love to be able to treat you to a tuning fork treatment.
Teach me how it works.
You were saying you were wanting that. Like, oh my God, nobody knows how to do this. I would love to treat you to that.
Okay, but bring it.
I will. I'll bring them down.
Yeah.
So, but I want to know because I really feel. I don't really want to say who I think it is because I would like to know if you could just tell me for sure.
You know what? I'm not sure, but I'm going to tell you a lot of healers, a lot of body workers, a lot of therapists who work with people. They tend to work so much on healing others, they forget about themselves. So they tend to pick up or attract some spirits or some beings, some energy that holds on to them, whether it's about that life force, that healing force. So the best way you can do, Catherine, is release that. And how do you release that? Well, there's many techniques you can do. I would get into the habit, what I do every morning, I'm in the shower, and I envision a beautiful golden light coming through the top of the head, the crown chakra, coming through the body, and taking away any energies, any foreign debris, any psychic dirt that's within the body and around the body, and see going down the drain, either throughout the fingertips, my toes, or coming down the body, and then replenishing that. And then what I do then is before I work, I put myself in a beautiful mirror, and the mirror is a reflection is out. So you're standing inside the mirror, all around you. That way, anyone's thoughts that come to you will bounce off, they won't stick to you. So try that, Catherine. I think if you try that on a regular basis, you'll be back to your normal self.
Thanks, okay? Catherine. You hear spirits, James, but do you ever see them?
Both. I see them, hear them, and feel them.
You do see them.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah, for the other man I called earlier with a man, the cancer man, the father, with a cigarette in his hand.
So you don't. It's not like you visualize it in your brain. You actually see them.
They come into my mind's eye, and they will show themselves to me like, you know, like a TV picture or, you know, just right in front of me. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of TV, did you talk to Marianne Winkowski?
I haven't spoken to Marianne in a while. I have to contact her.
I heard she might move from Cleveland to L.A.
Really?
Yeah,
I'll have to call her tomorrow to find out about that.
I heard that. I don't know if she did or not. Let's go to Kathy in Seminole, Oklahoma.
Yes, hi. Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I've been at wit's end on this. My ex-husband, friend of darn near 40 years, started having strokes back in November. And because of you know, him being an ex, and because of some a false allegation that was made by an idiot quack. We've been denied any access to him. They have taken him from just having aphasia to they're calling it persistent vegetative state, even though he hadn't had an EEG or much less a functional MRI. When people are either in a locked-in state or in a persistent vegetative state, do they understand that they can go around and contact people?
Yes. Yes, they always do. They're not inside that body. They're around, whether it's Alzheimer's, a stroke, a coma. The awareness, the consciousness is outside of that body most of the time. And they'll go visit loved ones, and they'll begin to learn how to, you know, move around that way, if you will. And once the ties to that physical body are finished, they're released from it, which is really, really a wonderful thing. So it's an adjustment period sometimes, like your friend who's probably going through an adjustment period of leaving the body and stepping into spirit and, you know, going back and forth and letting his family know he's okay. And when things are resolved and it's his time to move on, he will.
Next up, we're going to go to Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut. James, he has been a great longtime listener coast to coast, but he is an atheist, and here he is. Great. Hey, Bill. Great.
Hi, George. Nice to talk to you.
You
James,
too.
Yes, I am an atheist.
Hi, Bill. Welcome. Nice to meet you.
And a skeptic, and I like to bring logic and reason, especially science and the scientific method to coast AM. And I have my best friend is named Dave. He's an atheist, but he's a debunker. I'm a skeptic, not a debunker. My point is I'm open-minded. My second point I want to get to after my first brief statement is I want to see if you can blow both me away and Dave away, because I record all my shows on the air. I'm recording right now. And if you can talk about family or friends of mine that are deceased, that are dead, Dave would know them too. You would blow me away and blow Dave away. And my quick sentence before you answer is the scientific answer to the mind. I would call it the mind, M-I-N-D, M-I-N-D, or consciousness, not the soul, that's religious. But the mind could be string theory. You talked about vibrations, not density so much, but vibrations. String theory, as you know, is vibrating strings. Everything, all parts of the atoms of the brain, let's say, break down to vibrating strings of energy. That's the only thing I can think of using the word vibrations that ties in with science as we know it today in 2012. So now the point about blowing me away, I'm saying the mind, once the person dies, live in an energy dimension or energy universe or a number of energy dimensions or universe. And then my point, could you talk about friends and family members, one or the other of mine who have died?
Well, there's a lot to throw in there, isn't there? So I'm not going to be tested, because that's not what I do, right? So that's not what I do. You've heard me do other readings here in the show and other places, and you should come to a personal, you know, come to me, see me in person and see what I do if you want to study that, right? You can't do it in 5 seconds here. And I honor what you think and what you think, but I think that everyone has a right to believe the way they want to believe. I think that for us, that with scientific method is used in science, psychic science, to test paranormal and the evidence of life. What I'm going to say is there's a certain scientific method, which is great for stuff here in this three-dimensional world. But we try to place a reality of another dimension and put physical limitations into that reality. It's hard to do. It's really difficult to do because that's not within this realm. It's not within this dimension. So like measuring it with tools we have in this three-dimensional world, it's hard to measure a seventh dimension reality with tools of a third dimension. Or you know, it's so difficult. It's this funny, kind of gray area there. So we can't limit ourselves to that. That's all I can say. I think that we have to go based on our experiences. And if it resonates within you that things have to be measured a certain way and it's just with the mind, and, you know, Einstein did tell us the energy, you can't kill energy. Energy changes form. And quantum physics, as you know, is probably, you know, more than I do about the quantum physics, it's probably the closest thing that we know to the reality of life after death, to energy and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that's the best way I can answer that, Bill. I hope that helps you in some way. And I'd be more than welcome to have you come to a show and see me do what I do. And I think you'll have a better understanding once you see the whole process.
You want to take a stab at his family? Anybody dead there?
No, I don't want to. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Grace in Vancouver, Canada. Grace, go ahead.
Hi, yes.
I don't like to be forced into doing something like, oh, you're attested. 30 years of doing this, I mean, enough is enough. I'm sorry.
Hi. Hi, yes, it's Grace. Thank you for taking my call. My sister, I'm just wondering if she would wait for me before she reincarnates.
Ah, yes. So again, that goes back to the time, the linear time thing. So time is only relative to this three-dimensional world, right? So when we talk about souls coming back together, reincarnated as soul groups and soul families, it seems that those beings, those souls that we have family relations with and soul connections with, we get together on the other side of life. We will all come back, if you will, and we're over there in our full totality of our beingness before we decide the next incarnation. So the answer is simply yes, you will. You will know that personality when you pass out of this realm. You will be with that personality again.
Okay, Grace, thanks. We've just a minute to go here, James. Tell us again about the blog contest.
Yes, if people go to my Facebook and they put a like on there, or they go to my website, vanprog.com, there's a blog contest that people can write how this work has changed their lives, their perceptions of things. And if we pick you as the top 20, we're going to go to the public and ask the most 5 inspiring stories. And I'm going to give free readings and books and tickets and all giveaways to people, the 5 winners.
And give out that website again.
Yes, it's www.vanprog.com, VanPraagh.com.
Super. All James, once again, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. And love talking to you.
Okay, my friend. Well. Get some sleep. James Van Prague. And Bill from Hartford, all you got to do, send me an email, george@coasttocoastam.com. I'm going to take a jump at this, and I want you to send me the email before I go home tonight. I think in your family you lost a young girl who must have been 8 to 12 when that happened. You tell me if I'm right. I'll be back tomorrow night for Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.